X-ray Alpha. 4 Victor X-ray Alpha.
4 VXA and 4 ZLK. Good evening.
That's a good copy. I'm almost to Spartanburg here on 85 and got to get all the way to Anderson. Just trying to do a real quick radio check here.
I'm good. How's traffic? I got to head up that way from Greenville. Head up 85 through Spartanburg on up to Greensboro. How's traffic?
I'd say between Spartanburg and Charlotte's pretty rough. Your side looks worse than my side. Definitely a couple small accidents that might be gone by the time you come through. On the other side of Charlotte, all the way up to Greensboro, I started all the way at Richmond and then came from out of Lexington Park, Maryland. So other than this last 15 miles here, it's been pretty good. KK4VXA.
Yeah, I go up every night, and there's the construction between Spartanburg and the North Carolina line, but some Friday nights they don't do it. They leave it alone. I was hoping it was going to be an easy ride. I appreciate that. Name here is Shane.
Okay, Shane, I haven't seen any worker bees yet. I've just seen cops over there with accidents.
That when you get to Spartanburg, if you're coming into Spartanburg on the north side, stay to the left, and there's two 85s. Stay to the left, one will say temporary, and I can't remember which one, but it looks like you're going into a construction zone, but it widens out into three lanes. The other one is two lanes, but it's a slower speed limit. It's more the business 85.
Yes, I understand. I normally take the business side, and I noticed coming up 2 weeks ago that it was opened all the way, so I was going to try to go through it today.
You're right, and quicker now that they've got it back open. Anyway, enjoy your trip. I got to get punched in here and get to work, so I just wanted to respond to your call. You sound good, and have a safe trip. N4ZLK.
That's a good copy there. You two have a good trip. KK4VXA, clear.
For DJ St. Marjorie.
4XVA, running down 95 or 85, heading towards Greenville. Mobile.
6VA and 4DJC.
My name's Rick.
I'm on my upstairs on my portable base rig. So I'm probably about 30 miles away from the repeater, something like that.
Well, you're doing a definitely good job getting into it.
For my house, I've got a five element beam just mounted inside the room here, pointed that direction. I'm running about 10 watts right now. I can run 50 on this rig. It seems to get in okay on 10. If everything is, the propagation is pretty good.
From the exit 21, I live right there on the other side of the interstate there, back in that corner there, around Arby's area.
85 or 95? 85, I guess, right?
That's a good copy, 85 in the construction area. I don't think I'm past Spartanburg yet.
Solid right now. I can tell you mobile because you can hear it picking fencing every once in a while, but other than that, it's clear and got a little bit of noise, not much at all, actually, though.
The music's playing in the background, too. What can I say? I have a Motorola APX. It's my work radio with a little Steico 12-inch tri-band antenna. So it's a little 5 or 6 watt thing.
This is a good rig. There's no doubt about it. My antenna's doing good. You sounded real good that time, last transmission, too. But I don't even run a mobile rig anymore at all. I carry an HT with me. I don't mount anything on the car. The hood and trunk of my car are aluminum, so I'm not punching a hole in a car anymore. I'm past that. but anyway, that rig sounds good on it. And I don't see many people running Motorola's APXs, but every once in a while I'll talk to somebody that's got one. That evidently they must use them for business using Lambeau too, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I program them too, so I can just put in what I want in them and so on. The Bluetooth mic just blows you right. It's just fantastic.
There's no doubt about that, and of course it should. All the Motorola stuff has always been really good stuff. I don't know about the less expensive stuff, but the better stuff has always been real good. It's just getting somebody to program it for you and getting all that stuff set up. Otherwise, that's a great setup.
Well, just remember, KK4BXA, I live in Pendleton, so if you ever need it, track me down.
KN4KBC.
That might from the repeater, you think?
Clayton, Whitefish, I call sign KN4KBC here. Good afternoon or good evening to everybody. KN4KBC back over here in Toccoa, Georgia. How is everybody tonight?
You're in Anderson. I know it is. In Toccoa, are you located close to interstate or how far away?
Right north here of the interstate. So, yeah, it's a little bit cool here tonight.
Tried to get into that 33 machine, and my antenna's pointing in the wrong direction for that one. I used to be able to get into it, but I'm in a terrible location right now. I'm just about at lake level on Hartwell. So I'm kind of down on the bottom of the hill, and not only that, I got a lot of vegetation around me, too.
Got to Pendleton about a year ago, and I'm just barely getting the point that I can start setting up a little radio shack somewhere. Inside my house or my office, I really can't figure out a way that I can get a decent antenna, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm going back over here in Toccoa, KN4KBC.
There, I'm on my mobile rig, or my handheld in my car, at the 77-mile marker.
You're on a mobile. Well, I'm over here on the base. I've got my beams, I think, pointed toward that direction. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but yeah, you're making a good trip through the repeater and back over here.
KK4BXA.
Solid into it. No doubt about that.
You know, we're from Betty. Good evening. I jumped right in here. I just want to say hello. The name is Bill. Back over here in Toccoa, KN4KBC. So everybody have a good evening. Hopefully I'll catch you just a little bit later on. KN4KBC, I'll be clear.
See, and for DJC, a good talk with him. We'll catch you a little bit later. But, yeah, you're talking about moving back to Pendleton. You know, I tell you, one of the nice setups I've seen, I saw a guy had set up in his... in his attic, and he had one of these Comet GP1 verticals up there. It's only about 4 feet tall. It's got a fiberglass mast, handles 200 watts. And he had one of those set up there, and it worked really good where he was located. You don't have to get them very far off the ground because they've got a fairly low radiation pattern. They work really good if you got any elevation at all, if you're not completely surrounded by trees.
The issue I have is I bought my radio to be in my basement with my office. I am looking at possibly doing something with a flagpole. Just as I'm kind of on a hill, and I'm almost to the bottom of the hill, or really like the middle of the hill, so there's just not a good, like, oh man, that's the perfect spot to put an antenna right now.
Well, I've been licensed a little bit over 40 years now, so I know most of the time I work, I did handhelds and that sort of thing with mobile antennas and 4 or 5 watts or even, 2 watts back early in the day. And, this repeater has really good coverage. It's about 3,500 feet above sea level. It's on top of it's on the WYFF TV tower. about 2 miles, say, from North Carolina, South Carolina border.
Sassafras Hill repeater.
The Greenville repeater. Sassafras is 4679.
Well, you just said it was right by the North Carolina, South Carolina line, and I know that other one sits right on it, so I was kind of thinking this was one was more towards Greenville.
It is. It's on Caesar's Head, but it's still not very far from the North Carolina line. It may be, yeah, I guess that Sassafras is closer. I guess it is about 2 miles, but the Caesar's Head was not far either. But it's got, you know, it's got good elevation, and they've been working on it a lot the last 3 or 4, 5, 6 months, and working on getting some of the, you know, it's got a better signal now than it has in the past, and they still got some work to do on it. But it's solid because of the way the antennas are oriented. They got some more they're gonna do to it. But it's gonna have, I think it's gonna have better coverage than it has right now, actually.
For my guy, I like to do the HS stuff tactical more than having a home station. I enjoy the long wires, the folded dipole type antennas, and just going out somewhere and setting up for a day. I really like build day and stuff like that.
Now for him, then, a Wyndham, it works as well as anything does. If you can get it up at a little bit of elevation, it radiates vertically and, you know, a little bit of horizontal too. That works well if you have enough room. I think it's about 33 feet on one leg, and then the other leg is about 88 feet or so, and you got a couple of ballons you put in there. That would work really well for portable operation if you don't mind unwinding all the wire.
I really like the folded dipoles. I've really had really good luck with them. I have a 90 footer and a 60 footer, and I'm trying to build one that will go from 60 to 90 to 120.
I don't fool with HF anymore, at least I haven't. I've had them basically off air for quite a few years and just haven't got back involved last year. I had some nice HF stuff and had a good setup at one time, but removed here about 25 years ago. Just didn't feel like too busy to fool with it. Now I don't really feel like getting started back in it right now, but you never know. But I worked a bunch of stations back in the late 70s, early 80s, though, on, you know, 100 watts, and I ran vertical most of the time, although I did do a little bit of, you know, long, you know, little bit of work with long wires, but most of mine was vertical. I had to put a bunch of radios down, and back then, back in those days, 15 meters was wide open. You could work just about anybody on 15 with 100 watts without any problem.
My next question was, did you feel like HF has more interference today than it did way back in the 70s? I got my novice license way back in 80-something, and then it expired because of Hugo. I just really lost everything for a while because I lived in Sumter and things got wet, and I just didn't have time to think about it because of little children and stuff like that.
The thing is, the propagation is terrible right now, but I think if anything, it's probably less. I don't know. It's probably more RF interference just because of all the other stuff. I think you have to have a... I would imagine that, you know, like I said, not having been on in quite a few years, I'd imagine you'd have to have a really good ground, and with all the electronic stuff, you probably have a little more RF interference. But as far as local type, as far as the other stuff, the jammers and the woodpeckers and all that sort of stuff that used to be on years ago, I don't think it's quite as bad now as it was, but right now, you know, sunspot level so low, there's still openings. If you listen around, it still give me the openings every once in a while, and you just have to be patient and be there at the right time. But I think local RF is probably maybe a little worse. But a lot of the guys I've talked with that, you know, got good setups, just have really good grounds and have isolated everything real well and got good resonant antennas. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
About the folded dipole is I don't have to worry about the ground. For some reason, it doesn't matter.
So that's kind of why I stick with it. At home, I still don't know what I'm going to do for HS. I'm really thinking about a horizontal loop or something, because I got the room to put it up there.
To go if you got the room to do it. I think those things work real well from my understanding. I had one of my neighbors when I lived in Rock Hill had a quad and bamboo poles and wire set up quad, and he worked a bunch of DX. He got DXCC three or four bands I think on that thing. Before he stopped, I don't think he's fooling with it anymore now, but he went very high off the ground. It wasn't 40 feet off the ground, I don't guess, 50 at the most, but he worked a lot of DX on that quad, and I imagine the loop would work real well, and probably wouldn't be as noisy as some of the other wire type antennas.
Hello, this is KK4BXA, my handle's Rick. A while back, we did the Clemson Field Day, maybe two or three years ago, or the Anderson Field Day, but I brought up the big comm truck. I don't know if you were there for that one or not, a big blue truck.
Like I said, I've just been active again for about the last year, maybe, if 8 months to a year at the most.
That I work with a lot, I've been doing some extra work for them. So he got me a 400 Yaesu dual bander. I think it might be a tri bander. It doesn't do HF, but it does a lot of the newer IP stuff too. So I'm surely want to get that set up in my car or my truck here in the next few days or weeks.
Yeah, I'm running this rig now as a Kenwood D710. It's just a dual bander, but it's also got APRS too, which I use that for satellite, for the some of the satellites in the International Space Station. It works real well for that because everything's built to TNC, everything's built in. It's pretty easy rig to set up, and I can just take my five element beam and hand hold it and track it as it goes overhead. I don't have anything fancy outside, but one of these days I may do it if I feel like really putting that much effort into it.
I like stuff a little bit. I kind of teach stuff now for the comm truck, and this is the way I get people to understand that you don't need 20 watts to talk to a satellite.
Very seldom. I ran five. I did a lot of work with a handheld and did real well on it there, but the FM satellites, you might need 50 with them because there's a lot of activity on those. The linear satellites now, which they don't have sideband capable, linear satellites, you don't need a lot of, you can roll those with 20, and there's not a whole lot of activity on those. You can actually have an actual QSO on those. But the FM, this is SO50 and AO9192, they're just jam-packed whenever they come over in the daytime on the East Coast, especially in the space station. Since this is a digipeater, unless one of the astronauts is on talking to somebody on an FM downlink, it's just a question of 5 or 10 watts and getting the antenna pointed right direction and making sure you get digipeated back into a ground station that's got a gate. High gate. Otherwise, it's pretty simple. You can exchange messages. It's kind of like exchanging text messages. It's not anything. It's not anything real complicated, but it's still a lot of fun, though.
We'll probably have something really close. I bought one of those arrow antennas to do that with.
This elk, I just take the, I've got the elk mounted on a PVC pipe upstairs now, and I just take it out. I take the rig downstairs and use a LiPo battery and just hook it up and then use it downstairs outside when the weather's halfway decent. I can get into it from upstairs here, but it's a lot better to be able to hand hold it. I don't have the, mine's actually a log, so it's just basically dipoles. So it's not quite as directionally, it didn't notch like a regular Yagi does. and the arrows work really well, I think. And you can twist those and change. This one's the same thing, but this one doesn't require a deflexor, so I can run the AO9192, and I'd have to have a duplexer and just kind of track it along. But it is, those two are really busy, and I've gotten into them like maybe a half a dozen times. But since you have to have a rig that runs full duplex, so, or either have two radios, otherwise you have to be able to hear your signal coming back down on the downlink. Otherwise, you know, it's really difficult to work it half duplex.
That's a good copy. 60-mile marker Dow. KK4, DXA, mobile. I'd like to find some old, like, I'd like to find, you know, everyone wants a Collins, and I'd sure like to be able to find an old HF Collins, but I'm probably going to have to settle for a Heathkit or a Swan or something. Just a little 100-watt one that the tubes are still good on. If I have to replace all the capacitors and stuff, I'll do it, but I hope to find one that's already been done too.
Good rig to start, you know, especially if you don't mind checking it out, as Kenwood TS-120, 130, 140 solid state. It's a good rig, and it's not that difficult to work on. And you don't have, since it's got solid state finals, it's a little bit easier to deal with, and you don't have to worry about. Most of the stuff is still available for those, and if you can handle that sort of thing, just to make sure the capacitors are still good in, I think that's maybe a pretty good option, maybe a better option. Although I've seen some, the guy who got me started in radio had a Swan, he loved his. But tubes stuff's getting a little more difficult to find, some of the tubes now. My understanding, some of the, you know, back in the day when you just had, like a Yaesu FT-101, 101D or something like that, or even maybe a 520S Kenwood. I think both of those ran 8146, a pair of 8146s, and I guess you can still find those pretty easy.
That I'm never on the Kenwood radio. I've always had my Yaesu 897. It has two batteries in it, 100-watt HF, VHF, UHF, 50 meters type radio. And it's still a great little radio. I've had it since 2004, and I've just loved it. I love the handle on it. I love how I can just take it with me wherever I go. You know, now they got the 8, maybe 57, which is like half the size, but I still have the battery built in.
DJC for ID. Yeah, that's a good radio. I ran Yaesu's early on, and Kenwood's had, you know, Kenwood, they don't change their models very often. They're still, you know, pretty involved in the amateur market, but yeah, they don't put out new rigs. You know, they'll keep like this 17. I think this thing's been around for probably 8 or 10 years now, I guess, maybe longer than that. And other stuff just hasn't been changed that often. They don't change very often, but the rigs are usually pretty solid. They normally have pretty decent audio. But I ran Kenwood bass rigs after I got out of Yaesu just because of they were solid state and they were compact. So I could tuck them away somewhere, even put them in the truck, not have to worry about, you know, carrying something weigh 25 pounds. But they were good rigs, and like I said, I guess it just depends on what your capability of what you got. If you're able to get in and change all the stuff, you know, that's a plus, because a lot of guys don't have that capability, don't have that much technical knowledge. But the tube gear is still great. It sounds, I mean, nothing sounds like a tube radio to me, especially audio-wise. It's just a good mellow sound. But, the days of those tubes being available, you know, there's just not as much of it out there. You have to kind of scrounge around, have a couple, maybe a spare radio use for parts, and some of the IF stuff starts going nuts on you, and it's hard to find any replacement for those too. Because a lot of those, when they started putting a lot of chips in the radios early on, a lot of those things were custom, and it was real hard to find replacements for them, even 10 years ago, and if the radio's 30 years old, there's no telling. I just don't know enough about what's available out there now as far as repair.
Yeah, that's a good copy. About 2 or 3 years ago, I was up here, and I jumped on Craigslist, and somehow I ended up in Greensboro, North Carolina, Craigslist. Guy had a 101 Heath kit still in box unbuilt. I mean, all the resistors and capacitors were still in the plastic wrap. I mean, it popped up there, and I probably, within 5 or 10 minutes of the ad being posted, I'm calling the guy, and it was already gone.
I don't know what's going on with Heath kits now, but all of a sudden, the last couple of years, people have been buying them up like nobody's business, and it's really unusual to me because, you know, there were a ton of them out there. Now they're not quite as easy to find good ones on anyway, especially somebody that hadn't been, you know, been around a non-smoker, you know, that didn't have all the junk on the inside of it and had been taken care of and that sort of thing. But that's really unusual to find one that had been, you know, still had all the stuff in, you know, basically new condition like that. But I remember you could buy those things for just about nothing, and now they're bringing some decent prices.
I just want to have one old tube radio with to tinker with some, so I don't know what I'm going to get. I'll find something at a ham show and see if I can fix it, like a broken one or something, especially if they got the manual to go with it. But you did tell me to make sure it had the right finals, so I'm going to have to do some research on that.
Just get online, I guess, and I'm sure somebody on the net, they have a dad every night here at 9 o'clock. I'm sure somebody on the net might be able to help you out with that too, to find out what's out there, because I just don't know. I had fooled with stuff in so many years. I just know that most of those rigs from the early 80s, there were good rigs at them. I think they ran 8146Bs, I think, but I'm not sure. My mind is not quite as sharp as it was, you know, 40 years ago, but I think that's what they ran, and I'm not sure if there's a lot of other things in there. But some of those rigs are pretty easy to, I think some of those rigs, if you got the capability to go in there and change out the capacitors and check the resistors and that sort of thing, I think a lot of those rigs are still very usable and serviceable, but I just don't know about the rigs that were, say, a generation, you know, say half a generation earlier than that, how hard it is to find the tubes for those. Like, there was a guy had a real nice Drake TR4CW. He had that in a power supply and a speaker for sale sometime back. It was really clean, but the guy was asking like $600 for it, and that's just, you know, I just don't have the inclination to get in there and dig around, even though it was a nice-looking rig, because you just never know what you're going to run into with a rig, you know, from 1980.
Copy on that. I'm going to ask you something. Hang on for 1 second. Let me take this question. I was thinking about something, and I got sidetracked for a second there because cars changed. I can't remember what it was. That's what happens when we get old.
Years, I guess, so I know exactly how it is. But, I just get on, what I do is I just get on QRZ on that website, start looking around on there and see what, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there for sale, see what they got for sale, and ask some questions and see what some of those guys think. See, I'm not really an electronics guy. I just started fooling with it, you know, when I started out and built a few radios and did some oddball stuff here and there, but, you know, not enough to really be able to get in there and fix anything. Most of the time I made it worse instead of better, but my brother-in-law is an electrical engineer, and he knows he can get into that stuff. He's good with the transistor stuff, but the TV stuff was before his time, but anyway, he can help me out with some things, but if most of the new stuff is so tiny, you know, it requires somebody that's got access to SMT stuff to be able to work on it, I guess. I've seen some resistors so tiny, the line work can even make it that small.
Yeah, all the surface mounted stuff has surely changed what I can do at home, and then we have circuit boards that are 3 or 4 layers thick or more, so you have to be able to get that, you know. There's just very little we can do at home anymore. Yeah, I really enjoy building stuff out of electronics and, you know, building the old, you know, kits, the little radios, maybe build your own DC power supply and stuff like that. But those kits, any good kit, is really hard to find. KK4, VXA.
Okay, C for ID. Well, yeah, that's the truth. I used to build some, I used to do a lot of QRP work when back in 79 or 80, when I was living in apartments, I wouldn't interfere with other tenants. And but I did have a 100-watt rig too, but I did a lot of work with Tentec Argonaut with 5 watts, built some kits, you know, and enjoy that sort of thing. But there's just not, I mean, there are a few things out there now that, but mostly at the QRP level, is not anything much at a, you know, 100-watt rig or anything like that, and I'm supposing it's because of the cost of some of the components. But you know, you can build up the QRP rig, but the only problem is propagation just isn't good enough now to warrant doing that unless you're really in a good, you know, if you're up high enough and get a good antenna and propagation is really good that afternoon or evening, then it doesn't take any, it doesn't matter where you are, you'll either work it or you won't. But those days are, I think it's supposed to start edging up, but those days are, you know, I think about 5 years now, I think it's supposed to start to get a little bit, you know, get a bit better. But yeah, I'm just not, I'm not willing to wait that long. I have that long anyway, but, back in those days, you could work with 5, you worked just about anybody with 5 watts, and a band would open up, and that would be, you know, I'd work guys in Japan, you know, from where I was on the East Coast, and Australia, and, you know, had no problem, you know, I'd work into Africa sometimes, and not very often, because when I had my vertical, I was still a technician, I didn't have my general at that point.
I need to really study and go up one more level. I just enjoy what I got. I don't need anything else, but I still want to get it just to have it. So when I first got up here, I called out. I checked into one of the get-togethers at night. I think it was a Sunday night or a Monday night. There's probably 20 to 25 people on there. I said, hey, I need somebody that could possibly loan me a launcher or anything. And I couldn't want to, you know, get my HF back up. No one had anything, and that really surprised me that no one had a big slingshot or, you know, a cannon launcher, because you normally have that guy that has that cannon launcher, and he always wants to use it, and he never gets to use it. He spent all that time building it, and he never gets to use it.
There's a guy that's down here every once in a while. He has a launcher, but I'm not real sure what type it is. But I know, heard somebody talking about it in the last week or so about one particular ham in the area that had one. But I'm not sure what type it was. So.
6-foot slingshot. So I'm going to be playing with it here shortly to see how well it does. It's on an 8-foot tow pole, so you can get that straight up shot. So I'm going to see how it works.
They ought to work pretty well if the line is light enough to get up there, I guess. Well, I got to run. I'm going to have to get off here and go back downstairs for a little bit. And, well, this is really nice talking with you, and I'll hope to catch you on a little bit later. If I hear you on, I'll be sure and give you a shout. N4DJC, clear after your final.
Yeah, this is KK4 DXA. I appreciate talking to you today, too. Clear.